Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
All right, this is part three of how to know what people are thinking without being a mind reader. What we're going to talk about today is something that I normally don't say right away, and that is this. It's possible to read people's minds. In other words, it's possible to know what other people are thinking, and don't ask me how you do it. You just do, and I'm sure you've had experiences where you know what people that you know are thinking. We're going to talk about that in a few moments. But before we get to that, we're going to do a little bit of a review. I was talking about personality types. One is the blue personality. You know these people. You can spot these people. These people, they love to socialize. They love to talk. If you're in a conversation at a party or you're at a business meeting, these people are very social. They love to just go on and on and on. And the triggers for them, they just want to have fun. They want to socialize. They want to be around people. I would say they are extroverts. So when you're talking to somebody like this, most of the time, they're doing all of the talking. They're very animated. They're fun-loving. They love excitement. These are people that would love to go to Vegas. They'd love to go to Times Square. They'd love to go on a cruise. They'd love to go to a party. They just love being around people. They get their energy from being around people. So that's a blue personality. You can spot these people easily. You know, you just start asking them questions and you can see how animated they are and fun-loving they are and the fact that they love to socialize. These people just want to plan the next event. They want to go and have fun. Fun, fun, fun is their middle name. Now, we also talked about the fact that there are people that love facts. And these are people that I call a green personality. They tend to be married or in a relationship with the blue personality because these people talk a little slower. These people are focused on the details of life. You know, these are perhaps doctors, perhaps lawyers, perhaps accountants. These are all stereotypic examples, but think of an accountant that loves numbers. Now, there are exceptions. I know people that are fun-loving. They love to be around people and they're accountants. Don't ask me why. We're all different personalities. We're not just one. There's no way we're just one personality. But anyway, to get back to this green personality, these people, they just want to be right. They want to be correct. They want to cross all of their T's, dot all of their I's. They're very precise, you know, and you need people like this. But, you know, if you're having surgery, you don't want to be around necessarily a party animal per se. You want to be around somebody that's very detailed oriented, wants to be right, right? Because your life is in their hands and they are detailed oriented. They tend to be quiet. They tend to talk slow. They tend to be analytical, have degrees behind their name. Maybe not, but for the most part, what's really driving this personality is that they are detailed oriented. So if you're selling a house, right? I was talking with a friend of mine about this last week. If you're selling a house and you're dealing with this personality, let's say this is the husband, you want to talk about the square footage of the house, the exact square footage of the house or the property or where it is, right? You want to have all of the facts correct because you'll turn somebody off that has this personality when it comes to that. Now, however, if the wife or the other person is I love this space. This is going to be a great space for my family. Then you don't talk about details in that regard. So you have to kind of feel people out. You ask questions and you listen to figure out, you know, are they this personality or are they that personality? And then the other personality I want to talk about today is this, but we'll get to this a little later. This is what I call the red personality. And I'll just say that the red personality focuses on the task at hand. So we'll come back to that. So let me say this. It's not just enough to be able to read people and see, you know, okay, are they a blue? Are they a green? Are they a red? Are they a yellow? We'll talk about yellow next week. It's not just enough to be able to pick up on body language, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I truly believe, and don't ask me how, because we don't have the time to get into this, I do believe there is room for real mind reading. I really do. Now, I know people that are entertainers. They don't believe in this at all. Everything is just method. Everything is just tricks. They don't believe in anything like this. I differ. I certainly have had experiences where I've been able to pick up on the thoughts of other people. It has nothing to do with personality readings, has nothing to do with body language at all. Just yesterday I was invited out to a author talk. A friend of mine, his wife, was giving a presentation at the Palace Theater here in Connecticut. She gave a great presentation. Book signing. It was a wonderful event. But as I walked in, I met my friend, James Mapes, who I've known for a few years. And James, though we don't talk every day or every week, he introduced me to the host of the event, right? So picture this. He's there sitting down. This woman is next to him standing up. And I walk in and he introduces me as Greg Dwyer, right? I don't need any mind reading there, right? I knew he was going to say that. That's obvious. This is my friend Greg Dwyer. Got it. But then he went on to explain, you know, who I am and what I do. And I knew exactly what he was going to say at the end. You know, he said something like, and an overall nice guy, right? I heard the words, right, in my head before they touched his lips. And that's the truth. So, you know, he said I was a speaker and I was, you know, a mentalist or fellow magician. You know, he went on, and that's obvious, right? I knew he was going to say all that. But at the very end, he said, and a really nice guy. And I said to him at the end, I said, James, thank you. I knew you were going to say that. And what I meant by that is I heard those words in my head before he said it. So is it possible? Well, ask yourself, have you ever had a thought about somebody and the phone rang and it was them? Or you completed someone else's thoughts, or you were in a situation where you actually knew what someone else was going to say. I think if you really think about your life and your relationships with people, either on the phone, right, or in person, that you can think of a few times when you knew what other people were thinking, or better yet, that people knew what you were thinking. Now, maybe you were giving off signs. I don't know. But here's what I want to say. When I perform mentalism, when I perform mind reading, I leave room for the reality of mind reading. So a couple of weeks ago, I got an event up in Massachusetts. Somebody invited me to a party. So I went and I was hired to work about an hour and work within a group of people that were at a retirement party. And I walked up to a woman and I said to her, now, I never met her. I hadn't done any background check on her, didn't know anything about her. And I just simply said, I have a feeling you're an artist, right? I just said it. And she says, no, that's not me. I said, really, you're not an artist? She goes, well, I love to paint. I love to paint. In fact, it's my passion. It's what I love to do. And I says, I don't know, I just had that feeling about you, right? So this is something that I was doing in a performance setting. And the reason I'm telling you this is when I go out and speak, in fact, this month I have a few events where I'm doing some mind reading for some organizations. I leave room for what I call true mind reading. I leave room for something that is unexpected, meaning I'm going to have a conversation with somebody in the middle of a planned event, and I'm going to leave room for being able to pick up on their thoughts, right? So you may believe in this, you may not believe in it, but I would hope that you would leave room for the possibility of it. Okay, just the other day, I went into a coffee shop. Now, I have not purchased coffee at this shop for a couple years. I've been in there once or twice. I just made a decision that I didn't want to be going there every single day. So to make a long story short, I stopped going there for about 2 years. Now, I would show up, meet people for business meetings there. But the other day, I went in and I said, you know, I'm going to stop in and buy a coffee. So I did. So I went to the front counter. I walked in. I ordered myself a coffee. And when she was ringing it up, I was thinking in my head, I haven't been here in a long time. That's exactly the thoughts that I was having. I have not been here in a long time. That's what I was thinking. And I wasn't moving my lips. All of a sudden, the lady that rang me up looked at me and she goes, you haven't been here in a long time. And I was just like, got to be careful. Got to be careful what I'm thinking, right? Because people might pick up on it. But I said, wow, you read my mind. I says, that's amazing. It still surprises me. It still surprises me, though it shouldn't surprise me. A couple years ago, I was with a friend and we were preparing dinner. I think she was making dinner and we were in the kitchen together. And all of a sudden, I had this thought. And the thought was, I'm going to go down to the store and pick up a bottle of red wine. She turns around to me, looks at me straight in my face and says, hey, why don't you go down to the store and pick up a bottle of red wine? All right, so these are just three examples that I can share with you. And in fact, if I did more research, I would think about it, look at my journal and see what I've written down over the years. I would probably say there are a lot more, you know. So coincidences, perhaps. Synchronicities, perhaps. But what I'm saying to you is when you're learning how to pick up on thoughts and read people and figure out personalities, there's something to be said about the possibility of leaving room for just being able to pick up on thoughts like radio waves. Now, I know there are people that don't believe in it, and maybe that's you, but all I would say is leave room for the possibility of it. So we talked a little about personality types. The other thing I want to talk about is this topic, which we could do probably 4 weeks just on this one topic, which is body language, right? So people are giving away their thoughts with their body. If you're a TSA agent or you're an officer, a police officer, or maybe you work in the military, maybe you're a lawyer, people know this. They study this. They study how people look with their eyes, how they move their body. You know, we talked about the fact that your eyes express what you're thinking. You can't hide this, especially when you talk about micro movements, right? These are movements that happen without people even thinking about them, right? So body language, you can buy. In fact, I have like four or five of these books. I must confess, I haven't read a lot of them. But this is a great way to begin to learn what people are thinking about, or at least being aware of it, right? If you're not aware of body language, you're not aware that people are communicating without words, then it, you know, it just goes right over your head. A lot of communication is nonverbal. That's what we're talking about here. So you can study all the books, you know, and you can have all the answers, but I think a lot of it, truthfully, a lot of it has to do with just picking up on the vibes of the body language and using your intuition. You know, like Like, if someone's like this, are they cold? Like, you know, if I'm in a lecture and someone's sitting in the front row with their arms crossed like this, right, I could say to myself, all right, maybe they're cold. I mean, it's 60 degrees in here. It's pretty cold. Or maybe they're closed-minded. Who knows? You have to kind of figure that out, right? When it comes to dating, when it comes to courtship, when people meet, you know, like maybe they go on a blind date, you can tell. Like, you can tell if people like each other. If you're sitting in a restaurant and you see two people and they're sitting at a table and they're looking at their cell phones, both of them, right? They're not communicating with each other, or they're not with their cell phones. They're not communicating at all. They're just eating their meal. They're not talking to each other. Maybe they've been married for 100 years or 50 years or 75 years, and they got nothing to talk about, right? However, you can tell when people are on a first date, or you can tell when people are in love, or you can tell when people are connected, right? They're sitting there, and their body language is mirroring each other. So maybe, you know, he's got his hand on his chin, and she has her hand on her chin. And they're doing it without even thinking about it. They're just doing it naturally. They're matching and they're mirroring each other. This happens a lot in relationships where there's rapport. That's why when you talk about sales and you talk about influence, one of the things, especially out of the NLP world, is matching and mirroring and connecting with somebody's body language. In fact, years ago, this was many, many, many years ago, I was at a seminar where they did matching and mirroring, and this was interesting. In the process of matching and mirroring, people were able to pick up on each other's thoughts, what they were thinking, whether it was a sad moment or a happy moment. So that's the reason why I believe there is something to this. But body language is just being able to look at the clues. Does this person like me? Does this person not like me? Does this person trust me? Are they close to me when they communicate? Are they far away? What are they doing with their hands? You know, are their hands crossed? Are their hands in their pocket? Are they twirling their hair? Are they nervous? You know, are they twitching? Are they moving their leg? You don't have to read hundreds of books. All you have to do is just become aware of how people are communicating through body language, and then ask the question, wonder what they're saying here. I have a funny story. I remember when I was a teenager in New Fairfield, Connecticut, a friend of mine, his name was Kevin. He had a sister. I can't remember her name. I cannot remember her name. But, you know, we were probably 18 years old, something like that, 17 years old in high school. And I liked Kevin's sister. She was kind of cute, right? But when I went over to visit, she would kind of like wink at me, or at least, you know, give me a wink, right? And I took it as that she was flirting with me. Come to find out, she had this kind of thing where she kind of twitched. Had nothing to do with me. So is it possible to be wrong? Is it? Yeah, of course. It's definitely possible to be wrong and to think, okay, well, this person did this and they did that and it must mean this. You got to test it. It's just like everything else. And I think I went in for a kiss, and she's like, what are you doing? I said, well, I thought you liked me. You're winking at me. She goes, no, I'm not winking at you. She said, I got this twitch. So you got to be careful, right? When you're reading body language, you want to test it. It's not 100% accurate. But what I'm saying to you is people communicate throughout their body, you know, by how close they stand or sit next to you, whether they're smoothing and touching themselves when talking to you. Sometimes what people will do when they're really nervous is they will soothe themselves, right? They will touch their arm, or they'll touch their leg, or they'll touch their hair. Sometimes women will play with their necklace if they're nervous, right? These are all signs, and you can read books about this, and you can get really into it. There are many books. I think I got like five or six of them upstairs. But the more you read them and the more you go out and you test this material, you'd be surprised that you can pick up on what other people are thinking without being a mind reader. So what I'm thinking is this. We're going to take a 30-second commercial. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. If you wish you could sharpen your focus on what matters most to you and achieve more, then you owe it to yourself to read Greg's ebook at gregdwyerebook.com. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. Download it today and give it away. As always, we want to thank you for listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Now back to our show. Take it away, Greg.
So, just to recap, I believe it is possible to pick up on other people's thoughts. Don't ask me how, but I believe there is a possibility of that. There are different personalities. We talked about the blue. We talked about the green. And then today we're going to talk about the red personality. Next week we're going to talk about the yellow personality. And we're also going to talk about sensory acuity. And next week we'll conclude this four-part series on how to know what people are thinking without being a mind reader, even though maybe you are a mind reader. All right, so let's talk about the red personality. The red personality is a person that is task-oriented. They're not necessarily people-oriented. They are goal-oriented, right? So these are the people that tend to drive sports cars, or they like to drive fast. They like to make their own rules. These people are leaders and focused and very much task-oriented. So if you're at a party and you run into a blue personality, you're going to have fun with them. If you go to a party and you run into a green personality, they're going to give you the boring details of whatever happened yesterday in their life or whatever's going on in the world. They're the scientists, they're the analytical people. But if you run into a red personality, you're not going to have small talk with them because they're not going to put up with it. And in most cases, they probably will not even show up at your party, right? Because these people think that is a waste of time, unless, of course, going to your party is going to give them something that they want. Because in their mind, they're always thinking about the next goal, the next achievement, right? The next task to be checked off their day planner, right? They get to the end of their life and they realize they've accomplished all of their goals, but they can't really think who they did it with because they did it their way. Okay, think of Frank Sinatra. Think of Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. So the red personality does not like small talk. So if you're on the phone with somebody like this, or you're selling somebody real estate like this, you better get to the facts. You better get to the details. You better get to the point. That's what I wanted to say. You better get to the point right away, right? These are people that, I don't know, maybe they're somewhat of a narcissist. They don't have to be, but they are certainly absorbed on getting to the top of the mountain, achieving their goal, aiming and focusing at what they want. And you better not get in their way, right? Because they're just going to get it. They're going to go after it. They are very focused individuals. Can they associate with people? Yes. Can they talk about details? Yes. Can they have fun? Yes. But always in the back of their mind, they're thinking about the task at hand and the goal at hand. Now, I'm pretty balanced as a person, but I have a lot of red tendencies. So one day I was on a trip. I think I was in Spain. I was on a trip to Spain because I used to lead trips for 10 years. I would take people all over the world, Israel, Italy, Jerusalem, you name it, Rome, Berlin. And one day I was on a trip. And we were in Spain, and I said to the woman something. This lady was running my trip because I would organize trips with other people that were tour leaders. And she looked at me and she says, "You are very calculating." And I said, "What does that mean?" She says, "Well, when we stop at a place, you know exactly what you want to see. You get off the bus, you go do it, you conquer, and then you come back." whether it's shopping or whether it's seeing a cathedral or going someplace, she says, you are very calculating. In other words, very focused. So red personalities, they tend to not be people-oriented. They tend to be task-oriented. Just like green personalities, they tend to be detailed-oriented. And blue personalities, they tend to be people-oriented, excitement. Well, not necessarily people, really fun. Fun is what really lights them up. So when you're dealing with these different personalities, the key is to be flexible, right? So I have learned in my 50s and 60s, and I will say 50s and 60s because I didn't know this in my 20s and 30s, is that if you're going to be just a red and you're going to be bulldozing everybody and so focused on getting what you want that in many cases you're not going to be able to communicate well with the yellows and the greens and the blues or with people in general because most people are not this way. I don't have the percentages, but it's not 70% or 80% or 90% of the population that are red. It's a small percentage. I don't know exactly, but if you're going to try to just be with people that are like that, it's going to be hard. And most of the time, you wouldn't want to be around another red because, and that's another thing I want to say, we tend to balance each other out. Reds tend to associate with yellows, and we'll talk about yellow next week. But the point of this is flexibility is the key. So if you're a green and you like details, maybe you need to lighten up and have a little more fun, right? If you're a yellow, which is very relationship-oriented, and we'll talk about this next week, maybe you need to be a little more red, focused on, you know, getting things done. We're all different types when it comes to these personalities, but we tend to gravitate towards one of them, right? So my friend Jerry Clark, he taught me this many years ago. He had a series called The Magic of Colors, and he taught the blue, the green, the red, and the yellow. And then what I did is I got these diamonds, and I'm holding them up if you're listening on the radio, and I thought, well, these are a great way to express the different personalities. But what he said was, if you really want to be influential, if you really want to build rapport with people, if you really want to get along with people, you have to be flexible. So a red might need to take on a little bit of a yellow. A yellow might want to take on a little more of a green personality. The green might want to lighten up and be a little more blue. So if you can be a chameleon, if you can realize there's parts of you that can grow and not be just typecast, you will have more fun, get more information, get more facts, get more done, and probably have better relationships. So anyway, to make a long story short, Jerry Clark would get up and he would teach this and he'd say, hey, guess what I am? And people say, oh, you're blue. You love to have fun. You're an entertainer. You love to be in front of people. You love to show off and you love to entertain. And, you know, Jerry would ask this of the people in the room when he taught, you know, and a lot of times people said, you're blue. And Jerry say, no. I am a red. I am driven. But I hide my drivenness with my blueness because not everybody is this way. So how to be a mind reader without being a mind reader? Read body language. Leave room for the fact that it's possible, I do believe, to read minds. Understand that there are different personality types. And if you can learn to be a chameleon and figure out what you are and also figure out what other people are and also learn to read body language, I think you will be surprised that you will be able to sell more homes, have better relationships with people, and ultimately, well, here's what I'm going to tell you right now. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this was wonderful. This was great. All right, so next week we're going to talk about the yellow personality. We're also going to talk about sensory acuity. So you're going to want to tune in for next week. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. we want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.